So today we continue our series. It's the penultimate week. That means we have one more week of our series called Two Wheel Faith, where we're taking principles of motorcycle riding and matching them up with scriptures and juxtaposing them into practical lessons for our life and our faith walk. And yesterday we had our church motorcycle ride. And man, if you missed it, you missed a lot of fun. We had a great time. And that's why my bike's not here, and maybe next week we'll have another bike. If you want us to put your bike up here, we can do that for our final week. But this week, we're talking about how some aspects of motorcycle riding aren't necessarily intuitive. Some are counterintuitive, and they require training. Likewise, society around us seems to have their way of doing things, but that's not always God's way. And many times, Jesus leads us in a way of life that often goes in a different direction. As we find out more, I invite you to take out your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 for our gospel reading. We'll be reading verses 33 through 48. And Jesus is giving the Sermon on the Mount. And here in verse 33, he says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to those who lived long, long ago, don't make false solemn pledge. Don't make a false solemn pledge, but you should follow through on what you have pledged to the Lord. But I say that you must not pledge at all. You must not pledge by heaven, because it's God's throne. You must not pledge by the earth, because it's God's footstool. You must not pledge by Jerusalem, because it's the city of the great king. And you must not pledge by your head, because you can't turn one hair white or black. Let your yes be yes, and your no mean no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you that you must not oppose those who want to hurt you. If people slap you on the right cheek, you must turn the left cheek to them as well. When they wish to haul you to court and take your shirt, let them have your coat too. And when they force you to go 1 mile, go with them too. Give to those who ask, and don't refuse those who wish to borrow from you. And you have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good, and sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. And if you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete." It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Lord, these are tough words. It is so difficult to listen to these words, but God, we ask that you help us. Help us to hear your voice and to place it in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So anyone who has ridden a motorcycle learns a few lessons real quick. One of those is, you've got to respect the power. Because with the twist of a wrist, that two-wheel machine will launch you from 0 to 60 or even faster in a few short seconds. But another thing you learn is how incredibly stable a motorcycle can be. Sure, it's only got two wheels, and if you stop, it'll fall over. Or if you hit some gravel or some sand or a rock, you might lose your balance or some traction. But when they're in motion through the physics, the gyroscopic forces of the wheels spinning and the motor spinning within itself, the bike manages to stay easily upright and go in a straight line. And motorcycles, they're incredibly quick and agile. They'll stop and take off faster than most sports cars can even dream of being. And their tires have rounded edges with very super sticky corners that allow them to travel around curves at incredible speeds with gravity-defying lean angles. I mean, anybody ever wonder how they manage to turn like that? A few of you, thank you, because everybody else knows. All right, so. Well, it's fascinating. And a motorcycle turning like that is based on a principle called counter-steering. And counter-steering is exactly what it sounds like. It's counterintuitive to the non-rider. Many riders don't even realize what they're doing when they do it. But here's what I mean. When you turn in your car, if you want to go left, you turn the wheel left, right? You're looking left, you turn left, you press the accelerator and you go left. You want to turn right, you turn the wheel to the right, and you press the accelerator and you go right. And the same thing is kind of like with your bicycle. If you want to go left, you ride in your neighborhood on the trail, you turn left and you go left, and you turn right and you go right. That is until you get to about 12 miles per hour. Then something happens on two-wheel vehicles. A new principle takes effect in that momentum, and this happens most often in motorcycles because they tend to go faster. But then, instead of turning the handlebars left if I want to go left, I actually push my left arm and I turn them right. And the geometry of the bike turns the bike left. You can see this in a bike that's stationary, or your bicycle or your motorcycle. If it's stationary, you're holding it upright, you turn it left, you turn it right, and it will lean left. You turn it left, it will lean right. Well, when you're moving, it works the same way. And as you're going forward, if you want to go left, you actually push your left hand forward, turning your steering wheel to the right, which leans your bike to the left, allowing you to turn to the left. And if you want to accentuate that, you can do so with your body by leaning your body with the motorcycle. And if you've ever watched AMA or MotoGP, the superbike racing, high-end racing, a lot of those times when those guys, they're out here and they're pushing and they're leaning, they'll even hang off their bike. And those guys will turn incredibly quickly around those corners at high rates of speed. And that's what's called counter-steering. Now, the thing is if I'm trying to turn left and I'm going at speed, I'm traveling down the highway, and I try to turn it left, what will happen is I'll swing wide, or I'll miss my target, or even worse, I may crash. And no one wants to crash. But if you understand what you're doing with the counter-steering and leaning that into the corner, it allows you to ride much more smooth. And riding smooth allows you to ride safer and faster and better. And you will enjoy that ride much more. And I think this idea of better is one of the core principles behind following Christ. Because sometimes following Christ is counterintuitive, even countercultural. Yet when we do it, just like in our mission statement, it makes us better and others better at life through Jesus Christ. And in our sermon today, Jesus is in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount. Excuse me, in our scripture today, he's in the middle of his Sermon on the Mount. And this is what I would call the counter-steering life sermon. And Jesus begins with the Beatitudes. That happy or blessed are these people, are the hopeless, the grieving, the humble, the hungry, the harassed, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peaceful. And when people insult and harass you, what? When you first read this, it makes no sense. How can these kind of people be happy or blessed? Because God has something special for them. God is right there with them. But God has a special blessing for you when you are struggling with life and when you're being merciful or pure in heart or peaceful. In fact, Jesus goes on to say to let your light shine so that all people can see the good that you do and praise not you, but praise your Father who is in heaven, your heavenly Father. And then he goes on to explain what this looks like. He takes it a step further. He says, be careful about your anger. Oh, we all get angry, but be careful about your anger, because you know that murder is bad, right? But your anger can lead you to do and saying things that are just as bad. Or, we all know that we're not supposed to commit adultery, right? But be careful how you look at other people, because seeing someone as less than a child of God can lead you to treat them like a sexual object. And that's no different than adultery. But then Jesus goes on to say, you've heard it said. Long time ago, once upon a time, you heard it said this way. And really, he's quoting the Old Testament law. And he's contrasting how the world works with how Jesus wants us to live. And you know how the world works. We're all there. We've all been there. We've all seen it. We've been a part of it. But Jesus talks about making pledges or swearing. You know, the world says, pledge me this, pledge me that, swear you'll do this, make this promise or that promise. You know, and we'll say, I swear on my mother's grave, or I'll swear to God, as if that's not taking God's name in vain. But we say these things to make ourselves sound more sincere, when in reality, they make us sound like liars. Sometimes we say we want justice, when actually what we want is revenge. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. What's mine is mine. Give me what you owe me. Except Jesus tells us to do the exact opposite. If someone strikes you, don't strike them back. If they try to sue you for something you have, give it to them and more. And don't waste your time and your energy fighting over trivial stuff. But more importantly, if they need your help, go out of your way to help them. Finally, everyone loves the people that love them and likes the people that like them and don't like the people that hate them. I mean, that's the way of the world, right? But Jesus says, you're not like the world. You're salt. You are light. You make the world a better and brighter place. You bring a savory flavor to the bitterness of the harsh world. And you shine beautiful, vibrant colors into the darkness. And you can't do that if you're like everyone else. If you allow the politics and the divisiveness and the rhetoric of this world and what you see and hear on the news channels, if that stokes your fear and anger, then we become like everyone else. But Jesus says, you are different. You're not like everyone else. Instead, you belong to me, he says. And my nature, he says, is love. My actions are mercy and grace. And if you're going to be like me, you're going to have to pick up your cross and follow me by showing mercy, offering grace, and demonstrating love. And then, and only then, will your life be better. It doesn't mean it will be easier. I mean, after all, crosses are heavy, right? They're instruments of capital punishment. They're usually what we get hung on, what will be your death, what will kill you. Yet through that cross, you can find a better, smoother, more savory, brighter, and fulfilling life. And when you do this, then you will be like Jesus. Then you will be like our Heavenly Father, who is perfect in love and complete in showing everyone love. Jesus says, be like your Heavenly Father who loves everyone. He loves you and your neighbor and the people who don't like you and even the people that you don't like. God loves them too. And if you want to be like God, instead of fighting the way that God has recreated you and is recreating you from the inside out, push forward and lean into the direction that you want to go. Counter steer and smoothly accelerate into that turn, to turn from your way and into the way of God by greeting the stranger and the unfriendly, and by going beyond that and leaning forward into God's love and sharing that love with those around you. And next time you act, ask yourself, does this show God's mercy, grace, and love? Be complete in showing it to everyone. Now, this is John Wesley's definition of entire sanctification: to be perfected in love. You know, when you go out somewhere, you're driving down the road and you see a biker or a group of bikers, and maybe they're dressed up in their gear, whether it's leathers or a textile or whatever, you tend to form an opinion of them real quick, right? And most of the time, our opinions of bikers aren't necessarily positive. Sometimes it seems like the world sees us as Christians that way. When people see us or hear us talk about our faith before they even know us, a lot of times they'll wrinkle their nose as if we stink, or those walls will go up and they won't open themselves up to us. Because too many of us as Christians have a bad reputation for being hateful and judgmental and selfish. But Jesus says that we are better than that. You know, years ago, Honda had a commercial that said, "You always meet the nicest people on a Honda." We need to be those kind of people. That when other people meet us, they say, "You always meet the nicest people from First United Methodist Church."
Amen.
You know, at the fair this weekend, many of you were helping work the booth, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm so thankful for how our church turned out to help and man the fair. And I was working with Stacy Simmons on Friday night, and man, we just had person after person, family after family come by our booth. It was constant and kind of crazy and a lot of fun. And there were several other church booths around us. And some of them were coming up to us and saying, "Hey, how is it that you're getting so many people to come by to talk to you?" And I just kind of played it off. "Oh, you know, we got some cool games and some cool prizes, you know." But really, when you looked around at some of the other booths, the people would just sit there in their little stool with their arms crossed and no expression on their face. And I don't know about you, but that just makes me want to talk to them, right? We were standing up. Anybody that walked by, we engaged, we welcomed, we said hi. We offered them a cold bottle of water on a hot day. And if their kid wanted an extra prize, so what? Give it to them. It's no big deal. The kid's having fun. The families are having fun. And after we had a good conversation, we could invite them to church with us. Now, following the culture, doing our own thing, going our own way, that's easy. We see it all around us. But following Jesus is different. Following Jesus is countercultural. Be different. Be countercultural. Countersteer into a better life by following Jesus and showing God's love in all that you do to all that you meet. Amen.